Real hacks is full of bad language. Really bad language. So if you can't handle bad language, you should tune out now.
It's March 18th. I'm your host, Bob Nino, and you're listening to Real Hacks Episode 2.
Well, thanks for having us on the program, Bob. My name is
Jackie. Yeah. Okay.
That sucks. Let's do that again.
All right, then. Let's do it again.
No multiple takes. Come on, let's just get through this.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Elsie's hungry.
I'm very hungry.
Why don't we just call you Hungry?
Okay.
Or Hungry Hippo.
Elsie Hungry.
How about...
I don't think I enjoy Hungry Hippo. Thank you very much.
I think it's a fine name. All right. So there's no set format. We're just going to talk about whatever we want to talk about this week. Last week's show was about superhero movies and why they suck with my host, co-host, who thinks he's a host, but he's the Mount Denson Pimp, or MDP.
And you guys, does that include Batman 4?
Batman 4? What's the story with Batman 4?
Never mind.
There's the new Punisher coming out.
You know what's going to be good is the new Indiana Jones.
How is it going to be good? Lucas is involved.
No, but I think it's going to be his comeback. He needs a comeback, and this is going to be it.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford's too old to be fucking doing, unless he's his father.
Well, you know it's not going to be River Phoenix or whatever. Didn't he die?
A lot of people died. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, sure. But what
really I think he's going to be in it, and I think Sean Connery is supposed to be in it.
Yeah. Do your Sean Connery there, Jackie.
Jackie Glasgow. Do the Michael Caine.
No, I'm sorry. This is a serious program, and
it's not a serious program. I'm involved.
Films.
So nobody's listening.
That's a good point.
Yeah. No. No one's out there.
I'll do it when you're least expecting it later on.
Oh, great. Okay.
But I don't know. I disagree with your assertion that just because George Lucas is involved, the project is going to suffer.
Yeah, but that's George Lucas, and I think that's the way it's going to be.
That's what I hate about this, though. Like, the guy did brilliant stuff, and then, you know, Senality. He pulled out a couple of things that maybe not everybody enjoyed, but, you know, I think he deserves a whole lot more credit than just saying, oh, well, he's involved, it sucks.
I beg to differ. I don't think he deserves as much credit, because anyone can fall off and just totally suck. The real issue is, like, being good the whole way and sticking to a vision,
his
vision has shifted like the wind every fucking 5 seconds.
But I think, I mean, you've got to remember too that Steven Spielberg's going to be involved in this, and lots of other people are going to be involved too.
And that's why aspects of it won't suck, because of Spielberg. Spielberg is the only reason that I think Lucas, you know, still gets work sometimes.
Oh, I don't know about that.
He can't rest on that one laurel.
He's made the studios literally billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't really matter if his films are quote-unquote good. The fact of the matter is he can deliver. I don't particularly like what he's been doing lately, but he's still the guy who did American Graffiti and, you know.
So you would... Okay, if you're a producer, you're going to hire a guy based on a piece of work that he did, like, what, 30 years ago now?
No, I'm just saying personally I can... still see that he's the guy who did American Graffiti. The studios are hiring him because he makes them hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, but some of the, that's why studios are hiring him. But I don't know if I'd choose to work with someone who's out there to make the buck.
The Star Wars prequels have not really impressed, and I don't know that he has much to bring to the table. But the Indiana Jones franchise is a very strong one.
We're just going to let that go. Ignore the phone. They're dead to us. Continue on.
Well, I think, you know, the Indiana Jones franchise is really strong. And for a blockbuster film or films that make a lot of money, they stand up. They hold up. So,
how do you feel about actors? Like, does the same...
I'm against them.
Does the same rule of thumb go...
Fuck
so
actors.
That they're only as good as their last work. You know, if...
You know what? I don't think it's
I've seen Al Pacino do some pretty crazy, stupid stuff, and I've seen him do some really wonderful stuff, but I still have quite a bit of respect for his work.
Well, I think it's also who's directing them and the script that they're given, and, you know, some actors, I believe, are good with being told what exactly they have to do at every stage. And some people, you could just give the script and say, you know, make this character your own.
I think a lot of actors, too, especially big name actors that can make a project happen, often, have so much control over a project and will only do it if certain, you know, you hear these stories about Tom Cruise, for example, who dictates script changes, etc. I think if an actor like that is allowed to do whatever they want, the work is going to suffer. I think if you have a director like...
Yeah, well, you look at Mission Impossible 2, because, he was with John Woo, and he overrode John Woo on a lot of stuff.
I hated those films.
But it's funny, though, because
he was the worst of the two.
Like, somebody like John Woo, I would consider a really strong director. And, I don't know what his process is on set. And certainly Tom Cruise was involved in a producing capacity as well. But I think, somebody like John Woo could probably rein him in. I think there are a lot of directors like that.
There was a lot of fights on set between them, apparently. And they had to even stage something on, like, Oprah or whatever, where they were showing that they liked each other a lot.
And that goes on a lot. And I mean, I was doing craft services on that film, and there were a couple of incidents. I don't think there's any denying that.
But. You're not in the credits, though, Jackie.
Yeah, but I think they were upset with you because they had company, seminar. Right?
Yeah, no. Well, there's a story there. There's some legal reasons I can't go into it.
Everyone had diarrhea.
Uh-huh. I mean, I would be upset.
I don't know. I can't really talk about that. My lawyers tell me that.
Well, that was a while ago, though. You should be safe by now.
Well, the sort of, I think the time frame my lawyers were talking about was 10 years of not saying anything. So, I think it's enough just to say I was there and I saw some things go down.
What's this new thing that Spielberg and Tom Cruise are doing now?
I don't know.
They just announced they're doing some kind of an epic. And I saw Tom Cruise hugging Steven Spielberg, and
that guy is just not normal. Well, the biggest thing is if you ever saw the Stanley Kubrick doc there, where they're talking about Kubrick's life and everything, and it was shortly after Eyes Wide Shut. Spielberg and Cruise were like friends with Kubrick, and they talked to each other a lot. So that's, I think, how they started doing things and talking about stuff. If I were Spielberg, I'd stay away from Tom Cruise.
Can we talk about?
Although, what about Minority Report? I mean, that was both a critical and a commercial hit, and I think it was a great film, and they worked together very well.
Yeah, but I think Tom Cruise is about due for a big flop, and I think the whole his.
I don't know, though.
I think his whole Scientologist background is just going to come back someday, and,
there's just something about him that just isn't real.
He's gay.
He is.
He's gay, and...
That would make him real.
I don't know.
And that's why
he
picks women that are little stick figure men, really.
I don't know.
Nicole Kidman does not look like a stick figure man.
As of late.
I think that's pretty weak.
What's her name there? Penelope, what's her fuck?
She has the same last name as he does. It can't be that hard to remember.
I have a friend who lived in Vancouver, and he was involved with films, and he met Tom Cruise, and my friend is gay, and he said that Tom is gay. Very gay. It was...
Well, he's
the parties he was attending and the people he was around. It's his demeanor, his everything.
I don't think that has anything to do with the projects he picks.
And I think Tom Cruise.
I'm not saying that has anything to pick.
No, but what will happen?
Your sexual
to him
preference doesn't.
But don't
make
you just
you
want him to come
project.
Out?
I don't know. It's his. I don't know if he's gay or he's not. But if he is and he doesn't want to come out, that's his choice. I don't.
But at this time in life, it doesn't. It's not going to hurt him.
Well, I don't know. Again, we're assuming he's gay, and if he is, that's his business and it's his choice. And I could sit here and say, well, it's not too cool, and maybe you could help people by coming out, and you could raise awareness in middle America, and you could make some people challenge some of their own homophobic thinking. But
what if
he just said
he was bi, for fuck's sakes? People would believe him much.
Yeah,
sort of like
look
the
at
Elton
all the
John,
women that love him.
The Elton John 1978 kind of, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it really matters. I don't think that... I think the issue is, is he going to be in a film soon that's going to flop? And I don't think he is. I think compared to somebody like John Travolta, Tom Cruise, an even better example would be like a Cuba Gooding Jr., who was even in a film with Tom Cruise and won an Oscar for it. I think Tom Cruise is very good at picking his projects. He doesn't act in a lot of films. He's always heavily involved with the productions in terms of producing. And he hasn't put a foot wrong. And I think that kind of ties in with his sexuality, whatever it might be, the fact that he's...
The one with him and his wife there.
Eyes Wide Shut?
No. The
Days of Thunder?
No, the one that Ron Howard directed.
Was it Into the West? Was that what it was called? Or the Irish, were there Irish immigrants in there?
Oh, Far and Away.
Far and Away.
Was that really a hit, in your opinion?
No, I mean, it was a flop.
I love that movie.
But that's okay. That's 10 years ago.
Your girl, though.
Well, I think it had something to do with the fact that I was 12 when I watched it.
No, I think that was 10 years ago as well. So it's easy to say that film didn't do so well. But if you look at his performance over the last few years, not only is he A-list, but I'd argue he's probably the biggest male movie star in the world.
Well, he's definitely not the best, though.
Well, that's never been a qualification for being the biggest. You know, just because there's lots of actors who could act. Or even, you know, if you want to look, I was thinking this when I was watching the Academy Awards this year, that Will Ferrell's performance in Elf, and I'm not joking, was much more complex and ultimately accomplished than Sean Penn's in Mystic River.
I disagree with that.
It's very easy to sort of shout and yell and my daughter died and I'm pissed off, but I mean...
I think there was probably more challenge for Will Ferrell.
But what I'm saying. Isn't that the sign of a...
Which is a good actor. I would say yes, and that's probably why we like, you know, De Niro and some other people in the past, because they challenged themselves in certain roles, and that's probably why I like Ed Norton, because he tends to pick roles that, you know, really aren't like him.
You like sometimes. Ed Norton, though, because you look like him.
Yeah.
I don't see that much either,
but I've been told I look like John Lennon and Julian.
I don't know.
You look
Sean
a bit more
Penn
like
deserved.
David Cross, I think, than...
David Cross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because I'm balding. So.
That's part of it.
But thank you.
I think Sean Penn was totally up for that award, needed to be recognized.
I think his performance at 21 Grams was far better.
I didn't see that.
It was far more layered and far... You know, I just think that it's like, my daughter died, I'm angry, this is my Boston accent.
I think
and it's
that...
Just like,
no,
whatever.
But it
that
wasn't.
That is the
I
fundamental
didn't...
flaw with that whole concept. It's not the fact that he... His role, it's the fact that that's just a lame script story idea. It's like, been done to death. I'm sorry, how many times can you fucking do that story? You know?
Well, I mean, you know, you could argue that every story has been done to death. But, I mean, you look at that film, and I do think it's kind of by the numbers. It's very much just an ordinary kind of film that you might see 20 or 30 years ago. That,
in my opinion, that's Eastwood's directorial contribution. Is the safe,
well,
the
safer... He's doing a heck of a lot better than he used to.
Still. I don't know. The movies I like tend to challenge me. And I won't go see a movie if it doesn't challenge me. But at the same time, I won't see a movie that's all about trying to challenge me. Like David Lynch, I'm not going to go to a David Lynch movie and expect that I'm going to understand shit. Because that's what he wants. He just wants chaos and confusion and people talking about it afterwards. And I don't know if I get as much
out of
a movie
like that.
Yeah, but
you're making that sound like it's a cynical sort of maneuver on his part, too.
It is when he's charging money for his website.
Well,
he is all about the dollar, and don't get me wrong. There's a lot of directors that are like that. I think that there's a fine line that he has crossed in the past. Is that he would rather just make a movie that's, you know, weird, bizarre, and charge money for it and stuff like that.
But what's wrong with that?
And then there's Tarantino. I'm really pissed that he broke up Kill Bill in two parts.
Well, that wasn't his idea.
Oh, but he didn't fight for it.
But, you know, the interesting thing, though, when you watch that film, and of course we're at a disadvantage because we haven't seen the second part yet, but...
Oh, don't worry, it'll be out soon on the internet.
Well, I know, but, I mean, well, I'd rather pay the $8.
That's a different topic we should get into.
The special effects guy needs to get paid.
Well, he does. You know, I was at a movie the other day. I went to see The Triplets of Belleville, and they played that Respect Copyright bumper before the trailers, the one with the Manny guy, the special effects guy.
Yeah,
and he, you know, was doing his thing, and somebody behind me said, and you could tell right away, just by the way he was acting through the movie, that he wasn't a regular moviegoer. But anyway, this guy said, this middle-aged kind of guy said, you know, that's crap. The studios make millions of dollars. And I was really pissed off, and I almost said something. And I just think, you know...
That's because we're in the industry,
even, no, but even... No, but I don't think it's a... you know, like, even if the industry makes millions of dollars, the industry earns millions of dollars. You know what I mean? Like, just because they can afford to take the loss doesn't mean they should have to. It's still stealing. If you went to a grocery store, and I mean, Sobeys, for example, can afford... to lose.
Sobeys is a local sort of, well, it's national here. This is an American. Americans listen to this show,
yeah,
so I've got to explain.
They can figure it out. I mean,
well, it's like a Piggly Wiggly. It's just for those people who can't.
It's the context. They're going to figure it out. Anyway, it's a grocery store.
All right.
You go into a big chain grocery store.
Yes.
They can afford the loss if you steal even the most expensive thing they have in the store, but that doesn't make it right. You know, so I would prefer to spend the $8 and say, you made this film, you worked very hard at it, and even if you make a lot of money and you make a lot of profit, that doesn't mean I should be able to see it for free.
Okay, well, I think the fundamental problem with having those ads, and it's been stated on a lot of other shows, and a lot of people agree with me, is that you're showing a captive audience that's already paid you $10, $15, whatever,
yeah,
to go to the theater to watch this. They're not the ones stealing the money from you.
But they're not going to go. Those people still have the internet, and those people still might be saying, okay, this is a movie I'm willing to pay $10 to see, but this other movie I'm not, so I'm going to get it off the internet. You're not hitting the key market, though.
The key market are the guys on the internet.
But even guys on the internet go to movie theaters.
Yes. Yes, some of them do and some don't.
And I'm not saying they're going to cut out that trailer, that part. Well, fair enough, but you know,
I think Bob Mina goes to the movie theater.
I also think he downloads stuff from the internet quite a bit, and I know because I've seen him do it.
I've seen him at the theater. Actually.
Well, yeah, I'll probably get busted someday for doing something I shouldn't be, but anyway, I think
the thing with Tarantino and Kill Bill is that even though Miramax suggested it, if you look at Volume 1, you can see that you don't get this feeling of this is half the story and it got cut off in the middle for time reasons and this isn't self-contained and it doesn't work.
It's because it's one plot point throughout a whole fucking two movies even. It's one concept, revenge.
Yeah, but it wraps itself up nicely at the end. At the end of the first film, I don't know about you, but I left the first film thinking, okay, I really want to see the second one, but I'm still satisfied with what I saw in the first film.
And whereas I wasn't. I was pissed. I was pissed.
Right.
And the same reason why when I saw
but
the second Matrix.
But you're going through divorce and, you know, there's all
well,
kinds
you,
of...
Well, you know, the kids are irrelevant in that equation. But when I saw the Matrix and To Be Continued popped up there, that was just wrong on so many levels because we already know there's a third fucking movie coming out.
Well, it might be wrong on one or two levels. I don't know if it's wrong on...
Okay, well, you know, did you see To Be Continued on the Lord of the Rings?
Well, it's just three words, you know. Who cares?
It's just one of those, you know, dun dun dun.
You think it's lazy,
like,
or you think it's?
I think it's playing to the lowest common denominator in the audience. It just in case you didn't figure out, there's a second one.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of bullshit.
That's kind of the editor in you, though.
Yeah, but that's what I do for a living. So of course I'm going to feel strongly about it. I don't know. I don't know why you would want to break up a film in two parts other than to make more money. Because, there's going to be releases where
some theaters play
the first one and then they'll play the second one back to back. It's different with The Lord of the Rings. They had to break that up. It's an epic. It's fucking huge. Kill Bill is far from an epic.
Although I think, quite frankly, it's a much better franchise or whatever you want to call it
than
Lord
of the
Rings.
Oh, you just made a lot of enemies on the internet.
Well, they don't know my real name, so...
No,
they, okay.
Jackie's close enough. They'll hunt you down. No, that's... well...
Worst episode ever.
I don't know about that. Just wait until our show gets on the air.
No, I think the worst episode ever. I do. I think Lord of the Rings was a big waste of time. Some of the first film was interesting. I found the second and third films a lot alike. It was very repetitive. It was boring. People talk about...
And Kill Bill wasn't repetitive?
Yeah, really?
I don't know if it was the same scene over and over again.
Okay,
there was
were you impressed by the dialogue? Because, that was awesome.
I found that the dialogue was not as good
as some of his earlier films.
It didn't sound as natural as some of his earlier films.
The biggest...
But it's a cartoon.
When Uma... Yeah.
But it's a cartoon. Also,
it's an homage to the genre. You know, which... I'm sorry, but like...
Yeah, but he's always
I felt like he was taking that genre and trying to introduce it to the American public, well, the so common what? Man.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's not the best way of doing it. I think you should just take an actual... Why, by
having it on 2,000 screens?
And breaking it in two.
I don't know. Like, I think, you know, he did his thing and it was too long. And Miramax could have said, we're going to make you cut it down to 2:10. And
why couldn't it have been two separate individual stories? The whole story beat plays out. She chases him down. She gets him. Next movie is he actually gets away.
But you know the interesting thing. I think you could make an argument that the whole reason this happened in the first place was because he was given artistic freedom and license to do what he wanted. I think another director would have been writing a lot more.
And that's why I think he's greedy. He made the choice to let two come out.
So what though?
Two separate films. That but I mean,
Well, I don't know. There's greedy in terms of.
You're too quiet here. Come on.
Well, I'm a little bored with this because I think you're not going to agree.
No, we won't agree.
And you're convinced that we're not bringing anything new to this. A money grabbing bastard.
I think a lot of people are money grabbing bastards, and that's because I don't have any money.
I mean,
we're not rich.
Lord of the Rings. I mean, that's something I really disagree with you saying that that was a complete waste of time. I think
it wasn't a complete waste of time. It was maybe it was a partial waste of time. I thought it was overhyped, and you know,
I agree it's overhyped.
Yeah, but it's so easy for Gollum us to say that. But the amount of work that went into that project, I mean, Jesus.
Oh no, I mean, I can respect Peter Jackson and everybody else who was involved in that. It was quite an undertaking. You could argue, I suppose, that an undertaking like that hasn't happened before in the history of cinema, and that's great. And
except for like Star Wars, but they had so much time between them.
Well, and there was a unity of vision in what he was doing, and it was consistent. And he stuck with it. And he
in every detail,
every detail. But to me, I think it's more important to have.
You're probably just pissed because it was shot in New Zealand.
No, why would that bother me?
Well, I don't know. You just see there's no money.
But you know, you mentioned the New Zealand thing, and it's like. A film like Once Were Warriors, I think, is 100 times the movie that Lord of the Rings is. And that was made in New Zealand for almost no money. I don't think you could say that Peter Jackson isn't a great director and isn't in control of all the elements he needs to be in control of. You know, I don't think many quote-unquote auteur directors could have done what he did, could have undertaken what he undertook. But, you know, the storytelling is a little, you know... It's a little cliched, a little, you know, pedestrian. He didn't really break any new...
But yet you felt like when you walked out of Kill Bill, you were pleased?
Well, again, I think if you go into Kill Bill and you say, this is a cartoon, this is about having fun, this is about Quentin Tarantino doing his manic thing, then it's an enjoyable experience. I don't think it's his best film, and I hope he has better films to follow. He isn't making many films lately. There have been bigger and bigger gaps between the releases of his films.
Very true.
But I do think that, you know, it was a lot of fun. It's like if you go into a film like Austin Powers and you expect Citizen Kane, you're going to be sorely disappointed. If you just want a diversion for an hour and a half, a couple of laughs, and, you know, a bit of fun, then it's not so bad. And I'm not saying that Austin Powers is a great...
Then what's the point of even having it on the big screen? That's another conversation that
has
been popping around for a while. You obviously don't want to talk about this, even though you feel so strongly.
No, it wasn't me that felt strongly about it.
I know, she felt strongly too, but she'll be on someday to give her 2 cents, and until then she has to...
We're talking about anonymous. Lauren Holly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That anyway. Bitch.
Bob Nino's
no,
ex.
She's hot though.
Bob what do you? Ex is Tom Cruise is gay. Yeah, this girl's a bitch, but she's hot. What do you?
So
dude?
Bob Nino I'm thinks just trying that to make it some explain. Films should never be in a theater, and other films
I
were
think
made
some,
to be shown in a theater.
I think some movies that are in theaters are just in there so that the company can get the most bang for their buck.
Which, and but that's what's
that's
wrong
the
with
business.
That. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Do you think
the end of the day? Do you think Miramax? Who's making the money?
Everybody.
Miramax, not as.
But Miramax is the one taking the risk. They're the one saying, "Okay, here's $100 million, and you know, by the way, if this movie tanks, we just lost $100 million." They're the ones taking it on.
And how much did they make last year?
Yeah, but
billions.
People say
but they're paying for it.
People, yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, people always say,
okay, but then there's the other side of the whole equation, which is us. We're paying for it now. We're working our asses off and we're not getting paid shit. And then that happens a lot. There's a lot of us in television and film
that are
working.
But it's in our best interest for as many people as possible to see our work.
Right, and that's why I think the internet sharing files and movies isn't a problem.
But again, you're looking at say Miramax makes X number of dollars on Lord of the Rings or whatever. You've got to remember that they're maybe putting out, I don't know how many films a year, 20, 30, you know, whatever.
And most of them suck ass. I'm seeing
these
selective.
But a lot of them they'll take a hit on. A lot of them won't make money. They'll lose money. So at the end of the year, it's not about, you know, just one film. It's about looking at the films that made money and looking at the films that lost money and, you know, seeing what that balance is. And a lot of the times, they're not making huge profits. The trick is just to make sure you make more than you lose.
Yeah, but we're not helping the industry by going down this route of you having to get a blockbuster film.
Yeah,
you're not getting quality necessarily. You're getting just something that appeals to enough different people that it's out there. That's why some art films don't get seen and don't have the light of day. And there's a lot of good films out there that I'll never get to see because there's no chance in hell of them coming to this city or any other city in Canada. You know, and there's a lot of movies that if they did see the light of day and they were in a theatrical release, a lot of people would be better because of it. You know, just think like, okay, if...
What do you mean? Like they're...
The Passion of the Christ, yeah.
Their arthritis would disappear?
Well, yeah, or they wouldn't have as many migraines. I don't know. Because the Tylenol ad at the beginning would help
them
out.
Yeah, but I mean, as soon as The Godfather was released...
Yes.
And then a couple years later, Jaws, and then a couple years later,
the industry
Star Wars.
Changed, yeah.
It changed. Yes. And I don't know if it's going back. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. You could argue it's cyclical, but I do think that that's a reality. But then you look at a film like About Schmidt, and that's in hundreds of movie theaters across North America.
Yeah, but who drove that film?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a big star in it. No, fair enough. That's a good point. But, you know, there are art films that, I mean, you look at Whale Rider. Here's a film from New Zealand. And it's not even...
You're in love with New Zealand.
No, I'm just... It's interesting that in this past year...
You've been to New Zealand a lot?
No, but, you know, I mean, you've got Lord of the Rings, you've got a film like Whale Rider with a cast of unknowns, and it's not even just a New Zealand film, it's a Maori film. So you're not just looking at this population of 3.5 million, you're now looking at a population, you know, a tenth of that. So you're looking at this community of 300,000 people... producing this film that goes around the world, plays everywhere, garners an Oscar nomination for a 12 or 13 year old girl, and you know I just
and yet I haven't seen it. Have you?
Well, no. See, you may not have seen it, but
well, I go
did
see,
you see
it.
Did you see Torque?
No.
Well, there you go. That's a blockbuster. So I don't.
That's a blockbuster in the
for
the,
a week and a half. It is anyway.
It's in the system's idea of a blockbuster.
Well, I mean,
where's the substance? It's
no. But my point is that a film like Whale Rider that comes out of New Zealand, that comes out of this minority community in New Zealand, can go around the world and play in cinemas. Just because not everybody sees it doesn't mean it's not there. And I still think it's possible for quote unquote art house films to travel and to be seen. And that there is enough of a demand that, you know, you
they're
get
not
going to
get as far as they should, though, because the...
Well, maybe
because
not, but
the,
again...
That week, Torque is out.
Yeah, but,
it's
you know,
them.
Again, and I agree, and I think that the studio system can be unfair and the distribution system can be unfair, but at the same time, and this could lead to an interesting conversation about Canadian movies, I think that at the same time, that's what a lot of people want. They don't necessarily want to go to a movie theater, middle America, middle Canada, middle whatever. They don't necessarily want to go to a movie theater and be challenged or think. They just want to eat some popcorn and have a good time. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, that's what television's for. That's the mindless drone.
Well, yeah, except the TV's in your living room and it's not an event. You know, I mean, you go out to the movie theater. You get a babysitter and you go out to the movie theater. And it's more of a... you know,
a social.
Yeah, it's very social.
Yeah, when you're sitting beside 56, 70 other people and you're not saying anything unless you're one of those jackasses yelling out, well, don't go in there, you'll fucking get killed.
No, but I still
or
think
or you get your sticky shoes and you get someone kicking the back of your chair.
No, but I still think that's social, though. Even if you're not talking to those people, even if you're not quote-unquote interacting.
And that's why I don't go to the supermarket all that often either. I'm not into social situations where it's awkward and, you know.
I know this is the internet, but we really don't, you know, need to get into that. I think that we try
the
to focus.
That I have
let's
no
change
life.
The topic.
Well, Canadian movies.
Let's talk about, since we're so negative towards each other and we both have obviously different opinions.
Well, that's okay.
Why don't we talk about something that we
agree on
or something that we're interested or intrigued by so that we can, like, get some insight out of each other, because we've had these conversations
before. I bet
before.
Your viewers would really enjoy, though, this going back
Which
and
one?
Forth.
Our listeners?
Or your listeners.
Yes, the listeners do like this kind of banter because they feel they can pick a side
did
you
like
listen
that
to the first show
in...
there, Jackie? You didn't get
I
a chance.
I had some problems with my...
Internet?
ISP and...
Didn't pay the bill.
JDI and stuff.
JDI? I don't know that one.
It's technical stuff. There weren't enough RAM. It's a long story.
there weren't enough RAM. yeah. So if people want to email you guys, I should set up an email account that links on to you guys at some point.
But you shouldn't mention it until you actually have that account set up.
No one's hearing this until I'm done tonight piecing it together.
Okay, that's
so
a good point.
You be
actually, we'll probably just edit this whole part out.
We could. The show will be 10 seconds long.
I think you should edit out LCW.
Okay, and what does LCW want to be now? Nothing? You don't even be involved? You're just fucking hungry?
I'm starving.
Last
yeah,
Wayne.
Well, see.
I just, like, for the record, I was...
asleep for half this conversation.
I was assaulted and tied to this chair to do this.
There was a gun to her head, yes. Yeah, well, LCW, you have to contribute.
No, you're not
like
allowed
you
to have any more Smirnoff Ice.
Alcohol's bad.
Put it back.
We're going for food soon, bitch.
Jackie Glasgow.
Yeah. Fuck. Well,
I don't know. I think at the end of the day, making films, making television, whatever, it's all a business. And people are out there, you know, to make a living, to make money. And yeah, it sucks that some people don't have enough money to put their films out to all the theaters in the world.
Or to eat.
But that's just the way
I mean, it's unfortunate in a way because films cost so much money to make. It's not like putting on a play or doing a painting.
But there's cheaper
or
ways of doing it. There are. Like,
that's
the
still,
thing.
It's
you
still...
get the stigma if you're not shot, you don't shoot on 35.
Yeah, but
and
again,
it's going to be like that stigma is going to be now if you don't shoot on IMAX. That's what it's going to be. The next stage is
maybe,
IMAX. Films.
Maybe it is. I do think there are some people who are accepting of films on video. You see Dogma films that play. You see certain independent films.
Now, when you
on...
say Dogma, you should back it up and explain. Not the movie Dogma that Kevin
no, the,
Smith
it's
did,
the,
but
the Danish format. The Danish school of filmmaking,
which started in
Denmark,
wasn't? Yeah, no,
it was
not the place. Yeah, it was 95, and basically the background of Dogma film style
but
is.
But who wants
naturalistic.
To watch that stuff?
Well, a lot of people do, and those
some
films,
people do.
Those
like
those films
what,
are quite entertaining.
What was the Italian for Beginners?
Italian for Beginners, The Idiots.
What was it, The Party? Or no, what's the other one? Anyway, some of them are...
The
are,
Celebration.
The Celebration, that's it. Some of them are kind of interesting, and some of them have a lot to offer people. You can have another drink, I don't fucking care.
He's fidgeting. Okay,
oh,
one
fidgeting.
More.
I'm not fidgeting, but no, just...
But that style is, to explain it... Elsie, are you familiar with
yes.
Dogma films? Okay, well, being in
the well,
film
it's
school,
just
so.
Kind of like the stripped down version of a film. You're not allowed to have any lighting. You're not allowed to have
except for natural light.
Any,
that in
yeah,
found in
everything,
location.
Basically everything natural goes. I think there's a rule where you can't have actors.
No,
that,
you can have actors.
No,
there's 10 rules and.
Yeah, go through them.
Oh, what are the rules? You can't have music unless
it's played.
No special
effects.
Yeah, no.
Nothing
every
like
has
that
to
you
be
would
in
create
camera.
In post. It's all,
yeah.
It all evolves.
Well, they edit the
own.
Films, but the sound has to happen at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No contrivances like murders or guns or things like that. The actors have to wear their own clothes.
Props have to be in location.
Have been there when they showed up.
Or they bring them in.
You can have one light on the top of the camera. That's all that's allowed. You can't have a tripod.
Which is great. Like some of those opinions that they had, I think have really helped the industry to strip it down to what it is, and it's telling a story.
Well, which sometimes is you need that extremist movement to kind of get perspective on what actually is going on, and whether or not it actually is necessary that it is that stripped down. But I think it does make a strong comment on what is actually happening in Hollywood blockbuster films, where we're just being overloaded by technical special effects, music, which is, you know, it's dumbing us down. Yeah, when you get
staged sound effects, everything's contrived, where it should be all about, you know, telling the story and getting and the best performances and story out there. So yeah,
just to get back to a point we were talking about a minute ago, I think even if you're not talking about $100 million film and you're talking about a Dogma film, if you're making a Dogma film, you still have to hire decent actors, you have to hire a decent cinematographer, you have to have a crew of at least, you know, half a dozen, probably
with experience,
quite a few more. And so I think no matter how cheaply you're making a film, it's still beyond the reach of most people's, you know, extraneous spending. You know, it's not like you can just take some money out of a bank machine and go make a movie. You need a fair bit of money, even if it's not $100 million. So,
but what about Blair Witch?
You can do one for $10,000.
But even who's got? I mean, even if you look,
how much was your film that you did?
Well, I mean, I did one that was $40,000. I did one that was $4,000. I did one that was about $9,600, and I did one that was about $6,000. None of them made any money or got a release.
But what's default that? Is it because the industry is so fucked that you can't take it to, say, your local theater house and say, please air this on Friday?
Well, I mean, first of all, with the exception of one of those films that was originally shot on film, and then finished on video, all the movies I did were done on video. Most movie theaters aren't
equipped for that. But you could rent the gear yourself and push if you really wanted to.
I've done that to a certain extent, but it's just,
well, for film festivals.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, even a lot of film festivals don't accept video. They're starting to more and more, but you'd be surprised.
That's true. The formats they accept are very rare. Like some of them are just starting to allow you to bring a DV cam, so anyone
at I think home they didn't make money that. Because you didn't have any gratuitous sex scenes.
Hey, I've seen a lot of films with gratuitous sex, and they sucked ass.
No, I think that was a joke.
Well, no, they were porn, but that's okay.
No, I think she was saying what she said was a joke. Yeah. I actually just had regular run-of-the-mill plot-oriented sex scenes, and I found that they were not very exciting. So you're right, that's probably why. But I just think that...
Well, which one of your films, which one did the best in your opinion or had the most strength, and how much did it cost, that one?
Well, I mean, they're the ones that I think were better. I think the my favorite of the films I made cost $4,000.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was made with quote-unquote non-actors. Nobody got paid. And, you know, and I think it was a mockumentary. So, I mean, there's this idea that, you know, we were trying to think, okay, what kind of film could we make that we could make cheaply? And we just thought, well, obviously it's a mockumentary, but
you may want to not cover your mouth so much too, just in case.
Okay, I apologize.
I think we've been able to pick up everything, but yeah, okay, sorry, mockumentary, and with that style you could do it for very cheap.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the thing is, even if you're making a movie, I mean, I remember reading somewhere once that Sundance gets 1,000 feature submissions a year.
Right.
Now, they're not getting, you know, big films, studio films being submitted. So they're basically...
Well, I'm sure they probably get some. Well, I mean,
they play those too, but this is 1,000... These are 1,000 films that are made by people in Iowa using their parents' credit cards and whatever. So, you know, and we're not just talking about shorts, we're talking about features. There's 1,000 of these films, and I think they... except something like 50, mm-hmm. You know, so you got a 1 in 20 chance in getting in. But there's these 950 people every year who make these films and don't get in, who don't make any money, who've basically bankrupted themselves and their families.
But they have other film festivals as opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of them get in. But I mean, the point is, just because you make a movie, it doesn't mean that's enough. I think you need to have this whole machine behind it. You need the marketing. You need the promotions. If people aren't aware you have a movie, they're not going to go see it.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be an
Right, but that's a
catch-22. It doesn't have to be a movie that's completely dull and pointless.
Yeah.
You can market the heck out of it.
I beg to differ. I thought Armageddon was very entertaining.
I found it very dull.
Yeah.
And realistic, too.
Oh, no, it's totally realistic, yeah.
And if a meteor ever, is hurtling towards the Earth, we know what to do now.
Oh, and we have plenty of time in which to do it, too, because the Hubble telescope can see so far away. And, I'd just like to thank Jerry Bruckheimer for bringing us such great movies over the years.
I just love those moments.
And The Amazing Race. And I'm not kidding. I'm not being facetious.
No, I liked The Amazing Race.
I want to be on The Amazing Race. No, those sentimental moments where she's gazing out into the ocean and she's lusting after one of the brothers. We're not quite sure which because they're...
It's like Pearl Harbor, the big love scene. This is the biggest...
Oh, that's what we're talking about. I'm talking about a different movie.
Armageddon.
See,
no,
that's
Armageddon
the problem.
Had the stupid
you're
fucking
thinking
in the field.
No, that's
you're
the problem.
Of,
see,
you're
these movies
of
are not
all the same.
Original, and so I lumped them into the same thing. So Pearl Harbor, Armageddon, basically same movie.
Yeah, and Episode Two, Star Wars.
But you can say that about Jane Austen too. I mean, I don't think it's anything particularly unique to films that.
What, you thought her books were a formula?
No, I don't think they were a formula, but you could say, oh, there's a young girl who's run out of money and she's in peril and she has to navigate this new social whatever, I mean?
I think this is
the... At least she thought about the writing.
I think this is the new challenge out there that people have to get into their head, is that you can't keep taking the old stories and tacking on some... lame ass
but then
love story.
The studio executives would say, "Well, it worked last time. We need to do it again because then it's a sure bet. It's a lot easier for them."
But then
to put
you
it
still
into
have
an
adaptation,
which I thought sucked.
And why is that?
Well, actually, to be fair, I thought the first two thirds was okay, but then I thought fell apart. And I think Charlie Kaufman's overrated.
Wow, I did not know that. I feel the other way. I think one of my favorite movies are the ones where I feel like I've learned something or I've been told some new information or there's some twist that I couldn't predict. And I think that's partly because being in the industry, I've seen so much of the same old shit that it's just so mundane that you need to spice it up a little bit, But that said, I still like the classics, which are the same
old
story.
Like the Lizzie McGuire movie?
No, I was thinking Cody Banks, and I'm really looking forward to the second one.
It's already out.
Oh, fuck. I got to go tonight and watch that. Shit. Is it out tonight or is it out tomorrow?
I think it was out last week.
And I didn't go see it?
That's because you were downloading stuff on the internet.
Yeah, but I didn't download it. I would have seen it if I was, actively downloading stuff. Should I download it for you guys? Cody Banks too?
No, that's okay.
No, I think that's all right.
But there's a lot of movies that... Okay, going through prepping for this show, I went through my DVD collection. Yeah, I did prep for the show. It just took me a fucking shitload of time to get the... I had a computer hard drive crash and I had to reinstall
Nobody
drivers.
Cares.
They care. Know what it's like to install a driver after something... crashes.
Did you have enough RAM?
Yes, my computer doesn't
Stop
suck
pretending
ass
to know
like
what you're
yours.
Talking about.
Was the motherboard okay?
Yeah, the motherboard was fine. Actually, it was the Unix side of the computer that was a little buggy because...
It happens.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, damn that Unix core, right? Anyways, watching the opening shots in The Graduate, and then I put in Jackie Brown looking for sound clips. And I own both.
That shot is an homage. That's not just about repetition. I mean, that's
it's the same fucking...
Yeah, but he does that on purpose. I mean, you look at Quentin Tarantino, and that guy is a master at taking a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and making something new.
He wasn't trying to rip it off.
It was an homage.
Okay, all right. Homage, rip off. Everyone has their own opinion on that. But honestly, those are the sort of things that... I think there's a lot of people that aren't being introduced to the classics and don't get the homage.
But that's not Quentin Tarantino's fault.
No, I'm not saying that.
I would suggest that there would be some people who get turned on to the classics because of Quentin Tarantino.
You would hope, but do you think they actively go out there and seek out these...
Some people do and some people don't. But, I mean, Quentin Tarantino, if you read his interviews, if you watch them, he's always talking about movies, and he's always talking about his favorite films.
Yes, which is great.
And he helps distribute some of them.
Which is great. But what saddens me is when people watch these newer movies and they think, man, that's such an original storyline and stuff, and it's a ripoff from like the Maltese Falcon or whatever, you know, like the movie industry is so blatantly rehashing the same stories.
But everything's like that. You could look at modern art, you could look at literature, you could look at music.
Well, you couldn't have had the Beatles without English folk music. Yeah, but let's not get started on music because I'll start dissing a whole bunch of bands that everyone else out there likes that I totally think suck ass, like Creed and Nickelback. But whatever.
You've got a big Sum 42 poster on your wall.
I did have to say that.
This guy has a big Sum 42 poster on his wall.
Sum 41?
Autograph. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's how old Jackie Glasgow is.
Yeah.
83.
42.
Who's 83 and what? Yeah. I don't know what else to talk about, but how about trailers? You must have seen some trailers for a movie that you're intrigued by. Did you go to the Cass Hearn site that I told you to go to? No, you didn't. I just wanted to find out your opinion on that trailer. But
I can't remember things.
Pretend and try.
You would remember it. It just
sucked,
it's,
man. It's just totally blue. Jack Black sucks.
Cass Hearn. It's a Japanese movie. It's like a Matrix.
And
Jack Black, that's the trailer you showed me.
And yeah. Jack Black's Japanese
is horrible.
Actually, that
was pretty impressive.
No. The trailer for Cass Hearn looks really impressive, and a lot of people have been talking about it over the internet.
It looks like something I've never seen before, I'll be honest.
Yes, it's got like a Dune feel and a Matrix.
Oh, well, if it's got a Dune feel, we're in for quite a ride, aren't we?
Before you get too involved in it, you should see the overall style of the show, of that film, is going to be the best part.
You know, your favorite director directed Dune.
Yeah. Yes. But that's before he got into the really fucking stupid-ass midgets.
What about The Elephant Man? That was before Dune. What about...
And Lucas... had
what was
two
his
or
first
three
feature?
Good movies before he did a whole bunch of shitty ones.
What was
everyone
his first feature? That's Eraserhead. He did that way before Dune.
Right. There's a lot of good stuff early in someone's career, and then they get into the really bizarre shit. Just because I think they're going to see
And then
see
there's
now.
Kevin Smith.
Well, it's like why men go through midlife crisis.
Yeah, I don't much care for Kevin Smith.
Is so overrated.
I believe he is extremely overrated,
but he's
too.
Friends with Ben and Matt.
Fuck.
Well, I don't
Ben.
Know if he's friends
I
with
talked
Matt.
About that last show, and I'm not talking about Ben ever again. Benifer can fuck off, and so can Ben, and so can Jennifer.
Or Genjamin, if you prefer.
Yes. Yes.
Sounds like an ingredient in a cookie.
I think one of the. I think that the industry has to actively seek out new talent. I don't think they can keep giving these directors and...
But, I mean, we were talking about Kevin Smith a minute ago, and I think that's an example of the industry doing that, but I think the problem with
Attempting it.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing with Kevin Smith was that he made this movie for next to nothing, and then all of a sudden the industry's throwing a bunch of money at him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how to deal with that.
Exactly.
And he doesn't have that skill set. I don't think he ever will.
And I think there's a lot of other people that have that problem.
Yeah. And, I mean, you look at, you know, Ed Burns or any number of independent directors who come up, and then all of a sudden they're throwing a bunch of money, and they don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And,
because you've been scrounging for so long that's the biggest problem.
Well, there are different types of storytelling, too. Like, again, like I don't think Kevin Smith could do what Peter Jackson can do.
But you don't like Peter Jackson.
They kind of look alike.
No, but if you...
Maybe that's why he's comparing the two, because they kind of look alike.
No, but if you take your mouse and you move it along and you listen to the timeline earlier on, you'll know that I said that...
No, can't do it.
I have a lot of respect for his ability to command a big project.
All right there, Elsie's hungry. We're going to call you... What's Elsie stand for?
LCW.
Lunch Craver. There we go.
Large carnivorous...
Carnivorous woman? Although you're not large, but you are carnivorous and a woman. Okay. sorry to cut you off, but basically, you know, I think we've been going in circles with certain sections. I think we should try to get on board with the future. What do we want in the future, movie-wise? What do you want? What movie do you plan on seeing this weekend, then, for that matter? Obviously, you go to a lot of movies. Obviously, you like paying to go to the movies at theaters. And, you know, what movie are you planning on next? And why?
That one with Lindsay Lohan, The Confessions of a Drama Queen.
Okay, and why?
No, I'm just kidding. I'll go see anything. Like, I'll go see anything.
So you're a whore.
No, I'm just interested. Burn! I don't think... It wasn't really a burn when you think about
it.
It
was a burn in my
head.
No,
I don't think it was
a
burn. No, I think that, you know, I think that these people who only go to certain films, I mean, that's fine, obviously, but I just...
I'm one of those.
I want to see it all, you know? And even if I see a bad film, I find it's interesting to watch it and take away what you can. I saw A Secret Window the other day, and I enjoyed that. I don't even know what's coming out this weekend.
Yeah.
Again, our crack research team has let us down.
Consisting of half a person with a laptop that's too busy doing gay porn and stuff like that.
You said gay for the first time. I was waiting.
No, I said a long time ago. I called someone else
so
gay.
So how was Secret Window?
It was pretty good, actually. It was written and directed by the guy who wrote Panic Room.
Which I didn't care for.
His name escapes me. I kind of like Panic Room, actually. I don't think it was as good as David Fincher's other films.
Maybe
but
it was who was involved in it that I didn't care for. You know, like I like.
Is this about that thing with you and Jodie Foster and the email and the judge and all that stuff, or is that
No, I've been chasing Claudia Schiffer over in the UK.
And you were just deported.
Yeah, I'm back now. I'm glad to be back, and but she's a good choice to stalk, isn't she? Sort of.
This is weird.
You just crossed the line there.
Stalking? Yeah. We've all been guilty of it. Come on.
Not sexy. But no, I thought Secret Window was pretty good. And again, it's one of those films you go and you watch, and it's all or pretty much all set in this cabin on a lake, and you think, why can't we make that kind of film in Canada? Why do we always have to make these ponderous, self-indulgent pieces of rubbish? You know,
like
why
Man
can't
with Brooms?
Well, I mean, that's a piece of rubbish for entirely different reasons. But
by the way, that guy has an uncanny...
Resemblance
to someone we all know.
To who? Me?
No.
Some other bigger person?
We can't use real names. This is the internet.
I know this is the you
think
can find
about
out
it.
A lot of stuff. Okay, I don't know. Sure.
Never mind.
You mean in his grandeur? In his member? I don't want to...
Even
that.
The cyber warriors are losing interest. Let's focus.
No, you don't know. You haven't listened to any of the shows. Some of them go on for 15 minutes about the RIAA. And
yeah,
it's
I think the point of it is different. Not to take yourself so seriously.
Rhea Perlman?
Yeah. Rhea Perlman? No. RIAA, the Record Industry Association of America.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
I think
like
people
that.
Should pay for CDs, too. Call me old-fashioned, but that's what I think.
Well, I would rather buy a record than a CD, but that's not going to happen with a lot
of stuff. It's possible.
Not with a lot of the stuff I like to listen to.
Well, the stuff that's released in England still comes out in vinyl.
Yeah, but I'm not talking techno.
Well.
We know you're a big raver DJ / Moby fan. Anywho.
I don't know what that was all about.
I don't know either. Secret Window?
Well, I just think, you know, it's this kind of a film where you watch it and you think, you know, this is really simple, it's smart, it's well-made, it's
why can't
suspenseful,
we do it?
Why can't we do it? Why are we still making these sort of Adam McGoy and David Cronenberg, and you know, God love them, but these films that nobody wants to see?
You know why? It's because the way the system is here, you have to have this weird fucked up thing to get money and... And
can
it's
come?
Usually
well, it's
yeah,
the
sex.
It's the Emperor's New Clothes. It's like if you criticize this,
yeah.
You'll be labeled as uncouth or stupid or whatever. But I think we've built this machinery over the past 30 years of the Canadian Film Development Corporation and Telefilm of this is the way the industry is going to be. These are the films we're going to make. I think it was a reaction to the tax shelter films of the 70s that, oh, we have to go, you know, 180 degrees the other way. And make these auteur-driven, personal films. and most of them are garbage, and people don't want to see them. But we've invested so much time and money and everything else that we just can't let it go. We can't say, you know what, we were wrong.
But we're the service industry now for the Americans.
Well, that's another issue. I think that a lot of American films are...
That's probably why they did the 70s thing, was to get a whole...
Well, that, yeah, I mean, you could argue that that...
capable, competent workers to entice Americans to come up here and deal with us.
Well, that's fair enough, but I mean, they're two different issues, because there is an indigenous industry of 30 films or whatever it is a year, and, you know, most of them aren't ever seen by almost anybody.
Because of Alliance Atlantis' stranglehold.
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think the fact is, you know, okay, yes, you have limited access to the domestic market because of the dominance of American films, but I think just as importantly, you have a lot of films that alienate people, that people don't want to see.
Okay, yeah, but you still have the Independent Film Channel. And who owns that?
But I don't...
Alliance Atlantis. Yeah, and... It's the same... It's like Viacom.
Then they play all the Canadian films, so you don't understand your argument.
All what Canadian films? All the ones that they already own.
Well, what's wrong with that? They own them all.
The problem is that they bought a channel that was called the Independent Film Channel.
And now it's no longer the Independent Film Channel. What does any of this have to do with the Canadian...
It is the Canadian movie going.
We're not talking about TV. We're talking about movies.
But these are the movies that the Independent Film Channel was set up so that people who couldn't see stuff in the theater would get to see these Independent Film Channels stuff. But they don't get to see it because it's not all that independent anymore. And LC's falling asleep.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Lack of food. I think maybe it's because you're drunk. I'm saying
basically cheap drugs, bud.
I'm saying the biggest problem is the Independent Film Channel was originally created by people who wanted to introduce to the viewing public independent films. That's why iFilm was set up on the internet. And then who bought iFilm? Steven Spielberg.
I did.
Well, you and Steven Spielberg then. And what's happened to iFilm? I haven't gone there in 2 years. I don't even know if it's up.
What are you talking about?
Independent films were meant to have their viewing, their area to be shown.
Viewed,
yes. The other grammar.
All I'm trying to say is that...
It's not there anymore. Independent isn't independent. Independent is a label that they use to market stuff.
That's some abstract intellectual argument. What I'm talking about is the fact that in this country, there's limited access to the domestic box office, and part of the reason for that is, of course, because American companies are heavily involved in controlling distribution and advertising and everything else. But I think a lot of the reason the films don't click with the public is because the public don't want to watch them. And I don't think it matters if the films air 6 months later on IFC or TMN. The fact of the matter is, these films aren't really that appealing to most people.
But I disagree with that. I think people don't know they're out there because they're not being marketed.
Exactly. And the reason they can't have their venue, their place to show stuff on IFC is because now the big distribution company in Canada that distributes all the Hollywood schlock and film out there owns that Independent Film Channel.
But
it's
there's still Canadian films on IFC. I mean,
what air dates do they get? What you were calling me the other day. What are all the good Canadian shows coming on the movie networks?
Well, they do tend to dump Canadian movies on Sunday morning.
Yes.
But having said that, one of the films they were playing was Treed Murray,
which I'm sick of seeing.
The film was made a couple years ago, so it's just filler. I mean, it's not like it's a new release.
It's just long enough to fill up their gap between.
And
the other
film was Almost America, which again is a couple years old, and part of it's in Italian, and it's not, you know, it's not going to be their Sopranos on Sunday night kind of a deal. You know what I mean? It's not their 201 kind of TMN1 or whatever it's called.
Which is very true, but at the same time, like, you know, you got those movies. They are very old, and they've been released
They're
out of theaters. You're never going to see them in a movie. I mean, in a video rental store.
I don't know about that. I think you might see Treed Murray in a video store.
Well, maybe.
I mean, I agree with LC that won't carry it. People aren't aware of these films. And I think that's one of the problems too. That, you know, a Canadian movie gets made, it is $3 million, $4 million, whatever. that money spent, and then they don't have any more money.
So we have to seek out good films.
They can't get billboards. They can't do ads on TV. They can't do any of that stuff. They can't do the Burger King tie-in.
Yes.
So you need to be able to do that to create awareness. But what I'm saying,
you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
The people that are, you know, where you market all this stuff, Viacom owns all the billboards and MediaCorp. And
yeah, but are you telling me that they're not going to accept money?
Who owns all the channels? If it's a cross between their in-house production company's show and someone else's,
but it's not,
you can offer them twice.
It's not, because that's not all that's on billboards. You get other stuff on billboards, too. It's not just movies.
Smoking ads. Car company stuff.
They don't own everything,
big budget people.
Yeah, if Viacom doesn't own Buick, they're not going to have it. There's no conflict of interest if they are not conflict of interest, but there's no competitive problem if, you know, an independent film. They'll still take your money and put your ad up
there. Reality is the independent filmmaker doesn't have the money to market
Yeah.
He can't compete with the American Pie release poster space that they're going to get.
No.
Viacom's going to give it to their own distribution company for cheaper because it's their board.
Well, and
then you get
that's fair enough. But
monopoly stranglehold.
It makes
the consumer.
Well, it's North America being controlled by big business.
Right,
like,
and we have
news to
be more active trying to seek out these independent films. And yes, a lot of them do suck. And yes, a lot of them aren't going to get the airplay that they need.
What we should be doing is, instead of making, 30 films a year that don't have the money to be properly marketed, we should make 10 really good films and try to give each one of those a chance to connect with an audience. But we're never going to do that because, you know, we live in this sort of bureaucratic world where, you know, it's the way a company has to spend all its money before the end of its
fiscal year,
or it won't get the budget again.
Yeah,
so what we have
like
to do,
any other government agency, yeah.
So for years now, we've made X number of movies, so we have to keep making X number of movies because that'll keep the producer satisfied and that'll
keeps everyone employed and the industry is active.
There's nothing wrong with that, but those films are never going to break through. We should be, instead of making as many films as we do, we should be making fewer films but better films. But nobody wants to hear that because all of a sudden you're telling a producer who's been able to coast for years and get their money without too much trouble and never really has to justify it and never has to make it back because you get these grants from the government, you don't really have to pay them back, and you can always argue that, hey, it's the Americans, that's why we don't have access to the market, that's why my movie didn't make any money. You know, all of a sudden that producer's threatened. If you're looking at this new competitive kind of world, so they're not going to go along with it, and I don't think it will happen, unfortunately. But that is what they should do.
I think it will happen with time if we pursue it. We got to be more active.
And there are films Alliance Atlantis backed Foolproof last year, which I thought was a great film. But for whatever reason, despite all the heavy ad campaign and the prints that were put out across the country, it didn't do huge BO, as they say. It was okay, but
BO. Box office, yes. Yes, well,
motherboard.
No. Motherboard, RAM, computer, USB port. We're not talking about computers. That's a different show. All right, well, let's begin to wrap this up. I'd like to say basically that you know, I don't think we'll ever agree on everything, and that's probably
what makes
this interesting.
Well, that's okay. Why would people?
I don't want you saying
us otherwise.
Are you drunk?
People like
to
hear new content.
No, I had a couple
of
drinks.
You're
no big
drunk.
Deal.
Yeah, no,
I'm not. I had a couple of drinks. No big deal.
Dude was drunk 20 minutes ago.
I'm not drunk.
Is that why it was like basically a Jackie Glasgow soliloquy?
I can handle my high.
We all can to some degree. But basically, what I would like to say is that, you know, there are people out there that we are trying to appeal to that want new information. They want to know where they can go, where they can find lesser-known movies that are good quality.
And all these people wear black clothes all the time.
Oh,
yeah,
wow,
like, is there a website that you can go on to?
Unfortunately, there isn't really.
That has no global boundaries. That you could go on to and say,
global boundaries.
I want to do a search for this kind of genre for indie films. Would there be a website?
Well, IMDb, but you know, that's a little bit different. You can do a search and it will but there's still a lot of independent films that will never see the light of day even on the internet. You know, unfortunately,
that's even what, on the internet?
Even on the internet. And that's one of the things that iFilm originally, like 3 years ago when I was going there, was actively doing. It was showing, you know, independent films on the internet. You could download it. It was accessible to everyone for free. Then people got bought into it. Then there was stupid ads.
But not even downloading films, but actually getting it was a legitimate download.
And you did
there, and critics like actually.
That's what that site was supposed to be. It had all the cast. It had who wrote it, who directed it, what it was shot on, the whole database, all the information you needed, and it was accessible for free for you to watch it if you wanted to, and you had the internet connection. And then afterwards, you could buy that film, or you could just bypass it and buy it right away because you've seen that guy's other work. Unfortunately, it got bought, and you know, it's not the same. I also like to thank people out there in the internet that do seek out new information and you want to listen to different stuff, and that's why this show, I want to do it, is so that people out there wanting new information, different perspective, because we have a Canadian view doesn't mean it's like, you know, just for Canadians. So thank you to whoever may be listening.
And I just like to take a second to dedicate my performance this evening to Wim Wenders.
Okay. that's nice.
Yeah, you know, it's old. He does stuff for me, I do stuff for him, no big deal, whatever.
All right, and who would you like to credit your contribution to?
The restaurant we're about to go to and eat at.
Okay. Where you're going to feed your face. All right, and also shouts out to the people.
Shouts out.
Well, yes, shouts
props,
out.
Props, dog. Big up yourself.
You have to forgive Jackie. He's kind of a jack. That's why we call him Jackie, I guess. Stank Dog,
Oscar
thanks
Wilde
very much
in the house.
For everything. And yes, you can stream this as much as you want wherever. Big props go out to, in this order, Duel, Parallel. Thanks a lot, man, for having a great show. I really enjoy listening to you guys every week. And I wish you luck in the future with all your endeavors. And I'd like to also thank Stank Dog. Bin Rev Radio is on its way, and I'm enjoying every episode. C4, you got to get off that Final Fantasy, man, because... you know, we miss your show, and I thank you very much for letting me come on now and then, and I hope you guys, any one of you, will come on to this show. It's open season. If you feel so fit as to come on and bitch about movies and things like that, then you're more than welcome. So on that note, I'd like to thank my guests this week, LCW and Jackie, the drunk.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
That was so badass!
Dr. Satan! Ah, Dr. Satan!
Maybe he lives next door to you.
Calm down. It was all right.
Dude, you don't have to play it down in front of your chick.